and just reflect on his faithfulness.
Bow your heads and pray with me. Lord, thank you so much for everything that you do for us every single day. Specifically today, I want to lift up the youth students and the college students, that for whatever that they are going through, that they know that you are with them and that you are pursuing them. Lord, I pray that not only that you continue to pursue them, but they pursue you, that they turn to you. Lord, I also want to pray for the parents of these kids, that you continue to show them your love for them, and that they can show their students that love that you have given them. Lord, high school is not easy, middle school is not easy, and college, I'm finding out, is not easy. And I can't do this without you, and these students can't do it without you either. Lord, I pray that these students have somebody to look up to and somebody that they can turn to and walk alongside with, and they can just follow your love and your light, Lord. I pray that all these events that are going on in the church that are coming up, that you continue to show your light through us, and that we can be a vessel to further reach and further pursue your kingdom, Lord. It's in everything that you do, Lord, and everything that we are. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Here for family dinner tonight. I'm glad everyone made it back home. How was your day today? What have you been up to?
Oh, it was great. I did a whole lot of homework today.
Johnny?
I cleaned my room.
I played Fortnite last night behind your back.
I adopted a white child.
That's good. Right, I already knew you had a big heart.
Yeah, I hit somebody's car at school today. It was all right. I drove off before they saw.
Glad to hear that, son. All that driver's had paid off.
I let the daycare kids decorate the wall today with pink paint.
That's cool. I like pink. Can you get the bathroom, too?
Dropped out of college today just so I could live in your basement and eat all your food.
You know what? That's why you're my favorite, dude.
I failed my math test today, Dad.
Just rub some dirt on it, man. You'll be okay.
I got a tattoo of Pastor Brian on my chest. You want to see?
Right on. I was thinking of getting one of Pastor Art, too.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Well, welcome to Westview Community Church, to our guests. I want to welcome you also. My name is Brian Smith. I'm our lead pastor, and we're glad you're here. We're glad to our guests you chose to come hang out with us today. This being the first day of winter. So you missed fall. Fall was from 11 a.m. yesterday till 5 p.m., just in case you missed it, as we get ready for snow tonight. But for our guests, we are glad you're here. When you walk the door, you got a worship guide. It looks like this. On the back are some sermon notes. We're about ready to start there in just a little bit, but there's a couple things I want to bring to your attention quickly. One is that right before this service, we had a town hall forum for our Reach Vision campaign. It's the building that we're going to be starting here in November. If you missed that, we're going to be doing that again on Tuesday night here at church at 6:30. You want to come see what God's doing through our church as part of our vision and actually updating our facility and just be part of that. So come back if you missed that. Come back and hang out with us on Tuesday evening. And we are launching into a series here starting last week called All-Star Family. We picked that title because it's baseball season. It's the playoffs right now. So what we're talking about in this sermon series is, what is it like biblically to be an all-star family? What is it like to be our best in God's design, the way the Bible reads, in our family relationships, in our marriage relationships, and in our church family relationships? And so we're spending 5 weeks here. Why are we spending 5 weeks on relationships? Because, ladies and gentlemen, this is the number one way the enemy gets into our lives, is he destroys relationships. And we battle this every week in our church, and we want to strengthen and look at God's word and be strong now so we can fight those battles better. And so last week we started off with, the sermon was titled Stepping Up to the Plate. And we had Joshua 24:15, where Joshua says, "As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." And we talked about how bold it is today in Christianity to really step up to the plate and live biblically. And last week we did that. In that service, we had two families dedicate their children, that they were going to raise them in the ways of the Lord. We did communion together as family. We stepped up to the communion plate together, and we did that as a family. And the last thing we did is we had potluck, which is a bold endeavor in church, right? That was kind of funny, so hang with me here. I know it's... But we did one more thing. In Georgia, children's ministry director gave us a challenge called What's for Dinner? And that's what this video was just about. That's how you do not do dinner. This is about reclaiming the dinner table in our families. And so we're issuing this challenge to our families that have 20 meals in the next 40 days where we reclaim family. We put down the smartphones. And there's all these ideas in this booklet about what's for dinner, about how we reclaim that family time. And if you take the challenge, you can start right this week, and you fill this out. It gives you all these ideas of how to reclaim the family dinner table. And these are available right out here on this table. But if you bring it back, there's points for everything you do, and there's a prize at the end. So make sure, this is a great way in our families to start building our family relationships, and starts at the dinner table and reclaiming that time. And so take on that challenge. But like in baseball, we talked about last week about you start in baseball by stepping up to the plate. And then the goal in baseball is once you step up to the plate is to get a hit and move around the bases and eventually scoring. And so that's what we're going to start out with. We stepped up to the plate last week, and we're talking about now getting a hit and getting to first base. And in baseball terms, we call hitting a single is what we say is we call you hit a single. And you get to first base, and that's where we're going to talk today, is about being single. And it's like, well, what does this have to do with relationships? Ladies and gentlemen, all healthy relationships start, and we all start here, with singleness. And so we're going to talk about the biblical view of singleness first as a starting point, because we all started there. Singleness impacts all of us at least once. Most people in this room will eventually get married. Some will have a lifetime of singleness. But even for those who are married, there's a very good chance, maybe better than 50% chance, that you'll be single again through either divorce or a spouse passing away. Singleness is sometimes not a single experience. It sometimes can happen more than once. And so this applies to all of us, whether you're youth or whether you're 90. It doesn't matter where our status is. The singleness impacts all of us. So we're going to deal a little bit with this today. And I think the best way to kind of start is looking at, when we think of singleness, I mean, I think a lot of our brains go here. When we think of singleness, we think of our young people. And we think how they start out as singles. And right, and a normal pathway for them is to navigate singleness, and eventually they're married. And that's what we think is normal. But what's interesting is as we get older and we're still single, a common reaction is that something is wrong. And for a variety of reasons, when we look at the millennial culture right now, the generation right now, they are waiting on average 10 years later than the generations before to get married. The singleness is becoming more prominent right now. And yet we tend to look at this as something's not right if I'm still single years later. So in your worship guide here, let's look at the first sermon note together. Let's tackle this issue of singleness. So sermon note number one, single people are not defective. And singleness is not a problem to be fixed. That's what we're going to tackle today. Singleness is not a disease. But we tend to, in culture, think there's something wrong when you're stuck in singleness. And we need to erase that stigma. We need to erase that mentality. Sometimes we aren't aware of our own verbiage, our own way we communicate around singles. And this is even more prevalent in the church. And so I want to show you a video here, a short video, of what it looks like from a single and the things that we say.
How are you still single?
There's someone out there for you.
Meet and greet's coming up. You know what to do.
The key is to act like you don't care.
It happens when you don't expect it.
Who can we set you up with?
Have you tried internet dating?
She looks single.
You know who else wasn't married? Paul.
All single ladies, come on.
Happens when you're not looking.
Work on your smile.
He's single.
You know who else wasn't married? Jesus.
Maybe if you give God one of your ribs, he'll give you a wife.
You should change your Facebook profile picture.
You know who else wasn't married? Matthew. No, he was married.
You should meet my cousin.
Just pray about it.
Pray harder.
This series is on marriage. You don't need to pay attention.
You're not that old yet.
You can't settle.
You know, you might want to think about settling.
There's plenty of fish in the sea.
You should try Overflow.
Maybe she can see you tithe.
You know, when you have a wife, you can't play as much Xbox. You should get a dog.
Have you asked Jesus for a wife?
Are you on Christian Mingle?
Have you tried this? This looks good.
You are going to make such a cool aunt.
It's not about you.
You know, there's no marriage in heaven.
It's all about you.
I don't know. Is he a Christian?
It's about Jesus.
I know people who got married when they were like 70, okay? You're fine.
I like the one, and this is a stark reality with me, is when I got married, you can't play more Xbox. So that is true. That is true. I remember we were talking about some first service. We were talking about a time our oldest son just got married a few years ago, and he was in his late 20s, and I remember us reminding him on Valentine's Day how it's Singles Awareness Day, and that was, looking backwards, really wrong. And so it was kind of funny at the time, but I think in general it wasn't funny. But we do say these things, and sometimes we don't think about them. But generally that's how a single looks at this, the communication that we have with them. So what can help us understand being single better? And so let's go to God's Word, the Bible. There's some great scripture about singleness, about being single. So I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we're going to start in verse 7. There's two places I want to hit in that chapter 7. So 1 Corinthians, it's in the New Testament, just past the Gospels. And this is a letter. As you're turning there, this is a letter written by Paul. You heard him referenced in there. Paul was single. He was single. He was an early Christian church leader, very prominent in planting the early Christian church. And he's writing this letter to the church in Corinth, tough place to live. And he's writing to them, and he's dealing with the issue in all of chapter 7 about marriage and singleness. I encourage you to go back and read this entire chapter this week and look at what Paul's sharing with them. He's sharing with them the wisdom from God's viewpoint. And here, we're going to start in verse 7, and he really gives them a very surprising statement, a statement so bold that I think it would have like, the record would have just stopped when they heard this in that culture. So before we read verse 7, I want to show you sermon note number 2. Sermon note number 2 tells us that Paul tells us that singleness and marriage are both gifts. It's like, what? Yeah, Paul shares that singleness and marriage are both gifts from God. And so let's look at verse 7 together in 1 Corinthians. This is what Paul writes. He's writing to the church and he says, "Hey, but I wish everyone were single, just as I am. Yet, each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another." So like I was saying, Paul was single when he wrote this. And when we read that, it's like, hold on a second, Paul, you're saying I wish everyone was single, so marriage is bad. No, that's not what Paul's saying. Paul's saying this is a guy who has given his life to share the good news of Jesus Christ and start the early Christian church. This guy has been shipwrecked multiple times, beaten, thrown in prison, traveling all over the northern Mediterranean area, all for the advancement of the gospel of Christ. And what Paul's really saying was, I wish everybody was single. He said, I wish everybody had the abandon to share the good news like this with the world so the church will move, is what he was saying. But Paul writes in all of chapter 7 that each one of these is a gift. So he's not dogging marriage. He just cared so much about his life that was abandoned to the gospel, he wanted everybody to do it. And Paul identifies here in verse 7 that both singleness and marriage are gifts from God. God gives the gift of marriage so a couple can serve God well together in their married capacity. And we're going to talk more about that next week. And in marriage, if God gifts a couple to have children, the children will carry Christianity into that next generation. And they will serve God well also. And we're going to talk more about that in the fourth week. But singleness too, hear this, is a gift from God. And that singleness, and in that singleness, the single can serve further the kingdom of God and serve him well. And because both singleness and marriage are gifts from God, they can't be forced on anyone's life. So quit pushing your daughter to get married. Quit pushing your son to get married. God has seasons for these things. So Paul goes on first. So we know these are gifts, but how? How is single a gift? That just kind of blows us away. So he goes on further. Let's jump down to verse 32 through verse 35. And we'll put up overhead here and read this together. So here's how he explains how it's a gift. Paul says, I want you, church, to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man, a single, can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. But a married man, he has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or who has never been married, single, can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. I'm saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best and with as few distractions as possible. And so let's take a look at sermon note number 3. Let's break down what Paul's saying here about singleness as a gift. And why is it a gift? First note. In our singleness, we can focus on strengthening the foundation of our faith. Marriage is a tremendous responsibility for the spouses involved. It talks about it here. For marriage to be successful, a husband and wife must work at their relationship. They'll both have to be concerned about earthly responsibilities and how to please each other. That takes, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of time. And it's good and it's important for them. But Paul's simply pointing out here that in single people do not have that distraction of time. And in that time, they can grow the foundation of their faith, which we're going to talk about here in a minute, is the most important thing. And when we strengthen our foundation of faith, second point, we can grow our devotion to God. When we strengthen our faith in our singleness, that will help us increase our devotion to God. Without the time needed and energy for marriage, a single person who strengthens their foundation of faith will naturally grow in that devotion of time spent in prayer and reading his word and serving. And when you have a foundation and when you have that devotion, the third point, it helps us serve at our best. All-star stuff. And Paul says there, you know, right around verse 35, he says, I'm telling you this, he said, for your benefit. This isn't a bunch of restrictions for the church, a bunch of rules. This is for your benefit. And Paul's telling you from a single's heart how good it is. And he wanted these struggling believers in a church of Corinth, a new young church, to serve the Lord with their best. Now, what's really important here that we walk away with is Paul is not telling that the institution of marriage or singleness, that either one is better than the other or more holier. He's not saying that at all. But he reminds us that they are both gifts from God, and they are for a season. And Paul is a tremendous example, outside of Christ, is a tremendous example of God's power through somebody devoted to him in their singleness. That's a biblical view. But let's talk about maybe the elephant in the room, and that is in singleness, and it's lonely, right? That part about being alone is a real thing. And it's hard in a culture that most people are connected in marriage. And as I was looking at this and saying this issue of there's two words here that somebody contrasted, which really helped me see us a little bit. I think it's important to share it. There's a difference between being alone and being lonely. And let me explain what those are. Loneliness, let's talk about loneliness. Loneliness is a place of no relationship. Loneliness is a place of no hope without relationship. And there we commonly find people who are lonely are people that do not have a relationship with Christ. They have no hope for eternity. That is real loneliness. Being alone, saying, I feel alone, is being honest, especially for a Christian who's single. And being alone is a little different, though. Even though I don't have somebody in my house with me, I don't have a soulmate here physically, it's why I have a Savior, Jesus, who helps me. Jesus was single, and he had the whole world on his shoulders. And yet he showed us multiple times in Scripture verse that he was never alone. He was never lonely. As a matter of fact, he was very close to his Father all the time. As a Christian, we can feel alone. That's okay. It's real. But we shouldn't be lonely. Despite what happens in the world when we're single, treading through life kind of on our own, God is still there. He has not moved or changed. We sang about that just a little bit ago. Jesus came to earth so we wouldn't be alone. And the price he paid on the cross made it so we wouldn't be alone, that we wouldn't be lost. So for the Christian, especially the single, when we're separating out loneliness and being alone, I want to remind you that you have all the hope in the world and you don't have to be lonely because you have three things in God's design. You first have a close relationship with God. You can have a close relationship with the God who never abandons you through Jesus Christ. Second is you have the close relationship of your immediate family. You have family there. And if you don't have that, Jesus died for the church. And a church is a spiritual family. And for any of us who come to church on Sunday for just an hour and we think that's it, you're missing out on one of the most beautiful creations of family, spiritual family, and God's design. All these gifts and all these parts working together. This weekend, I went over and met with a senior man who was single, recently widowed. And he said I could call him out. So I was over visiting Andy. Andy Atchison, and he's sitting right over here, and he lost his wife. We didn't lose her. We know where she is. But she passed away last February. And I was over visiting with Andy on Saturday, and I asked him this. I was kind of working my sermon up a little bit. And I said, Andy, I said, I'm trying to write about the difference between being lonely and being alone. And I didn't even have to prime him. And Andy says, oh, he says, I'm alone. He says, but I'm not lonely. He knows his Savior. He knows where his wife is. And he has hope. But Andy was alone. And we have a lot of people who are alone in our church, from young to old, divorced, widowed. And it's the role of the church to be a family. And Andy inspired me this weekend about the difference between being lonely and alone. So one thing that can help us a little bit too, I think this is a matter of perspective. With the gift of singleness and the gift of marriage, is that we all need to understand one thing that's really kind of important, and that singleness and marriage both are temporary status. They are an earthly status. Every time the Bible reminds us, keep our eyes on the kingdom of heaven, keep our eyes on the kingdom of heaven, keep our eyes on the kingdom of heaven, we're looking to what's coming. And that's really important because the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, there is one relationship that's going to happen there when we get there that's most important, and that is our relationship with Christ Jesus. It will so, 2 Corinthians, or I'm sorry, yeah, Corinthians, yeah, anyway, sorry. Scripture verse says, No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can possibly imagine what God has in store for those who believe in him. And when we hit this relationship with Christ in heaven, it's going to so blow us away, the singleness of marriage, that I don't know if we'll even be thinking about. I know it sounds a little scary, but imagine something so much greater than the greatest thing you have in both of those. And what was really interesting is you look in Ephesians, you look in Corinthians, you look in Revelation, Jesus is coming back. We're all excited about when Jesus comes back. But who's he coming back for? What's the word they use? His bride. You want to talk about relationship? He's coming back for his bride, which is the church. We are his bride. That relationship is more important. Thank God for the gift of singleness. Thank God for the gift of marriage. But let's get our eyes on what's next. And we live in both of those realms now for what's next. Because when he comes for the bride, we got to be ready, right? Okay. In the meantime, here's some practical advice for singles and for church. So here's two lists. So in the meantime, while we're wrestling with our singleness or wrestling with our marriage, here's some things to keep in mind. So how to be a single all-star, right? So here's how we're a single all-star. First thing, allow your desire for companionship to draw you closer to Christ. You have an amazing companionship. And in the absence of companionship, use that to draw you closer to Christ. A relationship that's trustworthy, faithful, beautiful. Second, be grounded in your identity as a single. Be confident in your purpose as a single as God has you right now. Be confident in your body. Be confident in your identity in Christ and your life choices. Be confident about them in singleness. Three, don't believe the lies about singleness. There's a lot of them out there like, I'm not grown up enough or relational enough to be used by God. Or I can't serve in a church in singleness. We probably won't have you teach in marriage class, but you can definitely serve in singleness. The lie that I need a ring on my finger to be happy. The lie that life will be more satisfying if I'm married. The lie that I fail as a Christian without marriage and children, if that's the call that God has for your life. And the next thing, how to be a single all-star. Live your full life to the full now. Plan for the future. Get an education. Singles can tend to retreat from church a little bit because, in fairness, sometimes church gears too much to families and couples. And we got to be careful of that. Grow in discipleship here in the body of Christ. Serve in the body of Christ. Live your life to the full now. And the last point, how to be a single all-star, is don't go too fast. Don't rush into a bad relationship looking for something of satisfaction. Have patience. Singleness can change in a moment. You can be 70 years old and think, I'm single, and then all of a sudden God enters that person into your life, and you're Twitter-pated, for those of you who remember that cartoon. So is marriage. Can be very abrupt and change for a variety of reasons. So be patient as God, and take advantage of that time that God's working through you in that singleness or that marriage. And the last thing about not going too fast, don't go too fast believing that marriage will solve your relationship problems. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that marriage amplifies life problems. For a guy who's been married 31 years, yeah, you got it right. That's one of those problems, is remembering how long you've been married. Think about it. I'm not dogging on marriage, but think about it. I had a wife who I have to care for. We have children we have to care for. We have a life, socks on the floor, all these other things going on. We have 401, and I just saw all that stuff that goes on. Marriage normally amplifies your relationship problems. It is beautiful, and it's an amazing thing. But if you're going there thinking it's going to solve your relationship problems, that's not good. It amplifies them. So that's for singles. Got it? There's your checklist to be an all-star single. Okay, so let's talk to the next list here is how do we be an all-star church family towards singles? We are all a body of Christ. Each part is so important. First, let's not act as though marriage is expected or guaranteed. We have to stop this. Quit saying all those things in the video to our singles. And when we don't act as if marriage is expected or guaranteed, we end up guarding our language and our comments towards singles. So be cautious of that. Even in fun, sometimes it can really hurt for somebody who's alone. And then the third thing is to be an all-star family as a church towards singles is a community. We are a community with a heart for singles. The church needs this. All of us. So how do we be a community that has a heart for singles? Well, first, invite a single person into your life, wherever phase of life they're in. Invite them into your life. Take them out for coffee. Recognize they're here. And bring them into your life. Two, invite them into your small group. Small group leaders or people in small groups, if you've got room in that small group, invite somebody who's single to be part of what you're doing. Invite singles into your family. You know, if you have the pleasure and the benefit of family and you got room, invite a single into your family. Invite singles to serve alongside you. You know, one of the neatest things to see is when we see people are like, they grab a single and say, come on, you've got great gifts. Let's serve Christ together in a church and help and disciple them along that way. And the last one here is very specific. Invite singles to your table. So let's go back to that dinner challenge that we had, right? And that was geared for families. But even Georgia said last week, she said, you know, this can be used many ways. So we're going to use this a different way. Can we expand our dinner challenge, what's for dinner challenge, to you? To say, this is one of the best ways to start a relationship and fellowship is over what? Food. Everybody loves food. So invite them to dinner. So let's do this challenge. Well, I got to start with singles. Singles, this is a two-way street. So if you're single here today in whatever form, I want you to take out this Connect card, and I want you to write on the Connect with Us part, I want you to write just two letters, DC, Dinner Challenge. What you're saying is, please invite me. I would love to be part of somebody else in a church. So write DC, and then put a contact information, your email, phone number, or both, legible, so we can read them. Write DC on there. And then that's for people here that don't have that family experience right now. Now, for our people that have family experience, and that can be retirees, it can be empty nesters, or it can be a big family that has an open chair at their table, I want you to write on here, host. Host. And then write your contact information. What you're saying is, connect me with those in our church who are single. And I don't want them to be alone. So you're either going to write DC, Dinner Challenge, I'm up for it. Involve me. Or host. Bring them on. We want them to be part of our family. And we want to be a church. All-star church together. Now, I'll tell you in first service, I'm going to be kind of honest. I got a lot of hosts. And I got very few DCs. So singles, be bold about this. I don't want you hiding in church. I don't want you to think. I want you to be connected. And as a church family, we really want to connect you. We got people already lining up that want to connect with you. And here's a challenge. Like our dinner challenge for families is 20 meals in the next 40 days. Let's just do 4 meals. Let's in this challenge, 4 times as a host, and come together 4 times and see what happens. Watch what God does when he connects his church family and nobody's left behind. Amen? Amen. So that's our challenge. Now, fill those out for our offering. It's going to start here in just a few minutes. And I want you to drop these in the basket as it comes around. You don't have to write very much. Be bold, DC or host, and we're going to start. You know, I can sit there and say, guys, it's a great idea. Go home, have a great Sunday. No. We're going to give you a way to do this. All right? Everybody with me? Are the instructions clear? We're going to have a lot of dinners together in the next 40 days. It was awesome. With no smartphones. All right. So, baseball. Let's go back. Baseball, let's wrap this up. It starts with a hit and a single. An all-star family, an all-star church family also starts with singles. And here's a quote from a pastor that I think is a good way to finish this up. He reminds us that both marriage and singleness demand the most serious and solid biblical insight. These are realities, singleness and marriage, that affect every area of our life and thought. We cannot settle for superficial pep talks. Our lives cry out for significance. And significance comes from seeing ourselves the way God sees us, including our singleness. So singles, rise up, connect with your church. Church, rise up as a family, and let's be an all-star family. Amen? Amen. Ushers, would you come forward, please, for the offering? Offering is a time this is worship. And so we're going to bow our heads in prayer. We're going to pray for a couple of things that are really important in the movement of the church. So let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for Paul. What a great single guy. And what great words of wisdom for your church. Father, we are created in your identity, whether we're single, married, or whatever. And it's beautiful in your plan. So let's pay attention to your plan and not culture. Father, encourage those today that just desire to be a little less alone. That they write DC on a card and the church connects. Father, that our whole church is aware of those who are single and we're connecting with them. And Father, inspire those that say, hey, bring it on. I'm bold. I'm stepping back up to the plate. We'd love to have somebody over and start a new relationship with them. Father, let your church be an all-star church in your design. The second thing we pray for, Father, is our offering is a gift to you. We've been given great gifts. Not only singleness and marriage, but the great gift of your son who saved us all from ourselves. And Father, let our giving here be a sign of great joy and sacrifice because we care about the mission of this church and what it's doing to heal the world, reach the world, and advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let our giving be bold and brave and joyful so we can further the mission of the church. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
So our goal this year is to have 20 or more fun-filled trunks out in this paved area of our parking lot, and our goal is to take what the world is kind of a dark holiday and just turn it into something bright. And so there are tons of ideas on the internet about how to turn your trunk into fun. So please sign up in the lobby for that, and what you may or may not know is all of our leftover candy then gets donated to our armed forces. We ship that to them as a... we're thinking of you, cheer them up, stuff. So please, if you want to donate or help with trunk or help serve food or help with the line dancing, all of that fun is happening at this year's Trunk Retreat. All right, we're going to close in worship. Stand with us. This song is totally new, and I've been holding it out for this message because it says exactly what we just heard this morning, that singleness or marriage is a gift, and it's all about chasing after God's heart.
The sun is rising. Your mercies are new. You're already chasing with relentless pursuit. You have my attention. You have my whole life. I don't want to miss you here. So open my eyes. I'm after your heart and all that you want. The treasure I you break down the doors? 'Cause I wanna know you like never before.
Cranford. If you don't know me, I'm the vice chair of our local board of administration here at church. And I just wanted to give you a couple announcements. First of all, this is Pastor Appreciation Month, typically for the month of October. But we have a huge staff. We don't just have a couple pastors. We have a lot of people that are serving here. And so we would like to bless them. So I'm encouraging you, challenging you to think of ways to do that. Individually, as families, as small groups, to send encouraging notes or gifts or just a verbal appreciation for all that they do. So I encourage you to do that this month. Also, with the Reach Vision campaign, we had a town hall meeting this last during Connection Hour. If you missed it or you have more questions, come back Tuesday night, the 16th, for that. Also, if you're struggling with debt, Financial Peace University starts tonight here at church, so don't miss out on that as well. Guests, thank you so much for being here. Don't forget to fill out the card and send it to our Welcome Center out front. Singleness and marriage are both gifts. Singles, engage your church family. Church family, engage our singles. When we do this, we are an all-star family. Have a great week.
I'm after your heart.